All right, we're holding on page 88 in Brachos, the last paragraph of Sheshes. It's the end of Oys Samach Zayin, then. Still continuing, with the various bakoshes that different Tanoim and Amoroim would say at the end of their Shemoneh Esrei. So now we have one that's specific to a certain circumstance. All the other ones were, they would say it, the Pashtos, every day at the end of their Shemoneh Esrei. Some of them, for example, last one we had, what Rava said, we say only on Yom Kippur. But now he was one that was special for a certain event. Rav Sheshes, Kiava Yosef, Betanisa, when Rav Sheshes would fast on a certain day, Basu de Matzli, then after he davened Shemoneh Esrei, Omar Hochi, he would say the following tefillah: Ribon Ha'olamim, a master of the worlds, Goli V'yadua L'fanecha, it's revealed and known before you, Bizman Shebis Mikdash Kayim, that when the Bis Mikdash was standing, Odom Chote or Makriv Korban, a person, if he did an Aveira, would then offer a Korban, Ve'en Makrivim Menu El Chelba V'domoi, and all they would offer of the Korban is the fat and the blood of it, or miskapeloi, and that would be enough to accomplish a kapara, and that would accomplish a kapara for the person. But achshav yeshavti b'tainis, now I've sat and I've praved a fast. Then ismayet chelbi v'dami. So now my fat and my blood have been reduced because I haven't eaten. Yehiratzin milfanecha, may it be your will, Hashem. Shei chelbi v'dami shnismayet, that my fat and my blood that was reduced should be either krabt b'fanecha al gabei mizbeach, as if I offered it for you on the mizbeach v'sutzeni, and you should accept my tefillah. Which Marsha points out, you know, when you get down to it, there is a well-known idea. I think that Ramban brings it. I think the Sefer Achinuch, I think, brings it, that when a person brings a korbanus, when a person brings a korban b'chlal, he should have in mind that he deserves this kind of treatment that's being given to the korban, and Hashem is doing him a favor, doing him a chesed, and allowing him to bring an animal instead. So now we're saying there's no Beis HaMikdash. Now instead, I don't have a nefesh behema instead of my own. I'm giving away from my own nefesh to Yehudot Zimofanecha. In Shulchan Aruch, by the way, it brings this paragraph. It says that it's good to say it at the end of Shemoneh Esrei on a fast. With that said, though, the Noisa Kalim talk about that. Lamaisa, we see that we don't do it by most fasts. We hardly ever do it. Why is that? Because there are three kinds of fasts, basically, when you think about it. There's the scheduled ones every year that are having to do with the various things that happen in Jewish history. Then you have ones that the tzibur makes when there's a tzara, Rachman al-Azlan. And then you have a tainus, that an individual does because of his averis. Now, the kafachaim in particular explains in detail, bringing from earlier mafoshim. He says for the scheduled ones, you can't really say that because what do you mean? How can you say umaskapa? You're talking about korban is supposed to be a kapara. Here it's something generically on the whole Jewish people. It's not something individually that you personally did that you should have to bring a korban. The same way when it's a tzara on the tzibur, you're joining in with it because you have to join in with the tzibur. But who says that you personally were one of the people who was doing the thing for which the tzara is happening? So therefore, you wouldn't say it. Only if you're fasting a tainus yachid, then it would be appropriate to say it. Because why are you fasting a tainus yachid? Because of some aveda that you yourself did. So the Maisa, since it's very rare for people to fast such tainus yachid now, after what the Alter Rebbe says in the Geras HaTshuva, that nowadays we're too weak to, and we give lots of tzedakah instead. So therefore, it's very rare to actually say this. Nevertheless, you will find it printed in some sidurim, in some Weltischer sidurim. Okay, since we're talking, so now we've been talking about various things that the Chachamim would say at the end of their tefillahs, expressing basic ideas of Yiddishkeit. So now the Gemara mentions another one, also at the end of something, but here it was at the end of learning something. There's two different girsois over here. Omer Rabbi Yechanan ki have a Messiah, Rabbi Meir Sifra De'ir. So there seem to be two different girsois over here, whether it's that Rabbi Yechanan when he finished Sefer Iyov, or whether it's that Rabbi Yechanan is reporting that Rabbi Meir would say the following when he finished Sefer Iyov. So different mafoshim talk about back and forth what the correct girsa is and why it would be more appropriate for Rabbi Yechanan to be saying the following statement or Rabbi Meir. Anyway, he would say, so now you think about it, Sefer Iyov, You have the whole story over there. Eev starts off rich and Yoreh Shamayim and everything. Then he goes through terrible tzaras, and the most of the sefer is him and his friends debating and dialoguing why this is happening and how the Eibishter runs the world. And eventually he realizes that the Eibishter runs the world. And it ends off that he gets back everything that he lost, even double, and he passes away b'shem tov. The last pasuk over there is Vayomas Eev Zaken Svayom. So now, when Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Meir would finish the sefer, Omar Hochi, he would say the following statement. You see that Eev passed away b'shem tov. So soif adam lomus. In the end, a person's end is that eventually he's going to die. The soif behemah l'shchita. The end of an animal is that's going to be shechted. V'hakol l'misa heim oimdim. Everybody is destined for. Everybody's standing. Everybody's that's going to be their future. Is they're going to die. Therefore, in between, Ashrei Adam, Mish, Godo Batoira, so happy as a person who became great in Torah during that time, who used his life well, Ba'amole Batoira, and worked hard in Torah during that time, Nachas Ruach Liyotzrei, and he brought about Nachas Ruach to his creator, to Hashem, the God of Hashem Tov, he grew with a great name, as Rashi points out that Eev did, the Nifta Hashem Tov, Mina Olam, and he passed away from the world with a good name, again, like Eev did. The olav amas Shlomo, that's the kind of person that Shlomo says. This is what Shlomo says in his Chachma, which is in Sefer Kehelis. Tov shem mishem and tov. A good name is better. A good name is better than good fragrant oil. And when the day a person passed away is better than the day he was born, in the sense that when a person passed away, he has a lifetime of accomplishments to take with him to the olam haetz. So this was Rabbi Yochanan's or Rabbi Meir's siyum on Sefer Iyov. So now there's a lot of different angles that the Mefoshim talk about exactly what he's expressing with this. Akosev discusses as follows. He says, what happened with Eov? So he went through all that terrible suffering, and then eventually he got everything back, and he lived a long life afterwards. He was 70 when all the tragedies happened to him, and then he lived another 140 years. The pasuk says that vayechi Eov achar kozos me'av arba'im shana. The pasuk says so he lived another 140 years. So. But after all, at the end of that, he may have lived a long, prosperous life and a life of Yiras Shemayim and everything. But eventually, he died. So a person has to make sure that he uses his life wisely, and it shouldn't just be. He says, "La'ava samoyu." Don't just do it because it's useful and it's something useful to do, but rather because you love Hashem and you want to bring Nachas Ruach to the Eibishter. So that's the message that's the message a person should take throughout their life. He mentions also, now when a person dies, he calls it soif ve'ene tachlis. It's the end of a person, but it's not the ultimate purpose. Because after all, the ultimate purpose is the person is going to have tchias mason. An animal shechted is soif ve'tachlis because the purpose is that it was shechted in order that a person should eat it. So the idea is a person should realize that they have a tachlis, they have a future to live for, not just to live their life stam in order to live and in order to eat. Al derech like you have the famous story involving the Rebbe Maharash with his mishores versus his coachman. Why do you eat in order to live? Why do you live? So I can daven via yidav tzayin and krechtes versus the coachman. What do you eat in order to live? What do you live in order to eat? In order to have a good. Anyway, so that's one. Marsha says, Marsha stells on the point, you have a repeated expression over here. You're saying soif adam lamus, the soif behem of the shchita, then he's repeating v'akol l'misahem oimdim. So what does that mean? So Marsha explains that you can have a person dies of old age, and the same way an animal eventually lives out its useful life, like this, when an animal is younger, you don't expect it to be shechted. It usually you keep it when it's younger for work, and then when it gets too old to be useful work, then you shecht it. Then on the other hand, you have hakol misayim oimdim. Sometimes people and animals die young. So now, what did Hashem create a person for? Is to create nachas ruach liyotzrei. So therefore, happy is a person who accomplishes that throughout his life he keeps that shem tov and accomplishes what he's supposed to. Then there's a lot of different other explanations that the different Mefoshim over here on the page talk about different angles on exactly what Rabbi Yochanan wants to express with this. One interesting one that's not here on the page, actually, is, well, first of all, one that is on the page over here, Eitz Yosef says that the person and the behemoth that we're talking about may not be in the simple sense of an actual person, an actual behemoth, but rather we're talking about tzaddikim versus rishoyim. So the tzaddikim have misas neshika, as we learned earlier in the parak. Tzaddikim enjoying misas neshika, whereas rishoyim, their death is a very painful thing to schlep out the neshama from the body. So it's like shchita. So we're saying soif behem l'shchita, but after all, I call them misahim emdim, that the rosha has the opportunity to correct that he shouldn't have to have the shchita of the malach hamavis by doing tshuva in time, and then he'll bring himself to the level of a bal tshuva gum. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin has an explanation in his Siddur. A lot of pieces from this Gemara there's a thing. I don't know how common it is nowadays that people do it, but there's a thing that you find in older Siddurim and older Sfarim called Ma'amodos, where every day you have a section of Torah, a section of Nevi'im, a section of Ksuvim, of Mishnah, of Gemara, of Medrash, etc. For each day of the week. So he has those in his Siddur, and he has a commentary on it. So one of the days, he has this piece over here. So he explains like this. We learned earlier in the Perek that Rabbi Yochanan, his girsa is that it was Rabbi Yochanan who said this. We learned earlier in the Perek that Rabbi Yochanan suffered that all 10 of his children passed away during his lifetime, which is similar to what happened to Eli, where his children also were killed, or at least seemed to have been killed. So he was bothered by the question, which also bothered Eiv. How could it be? I mean, the Eivishter is tzaddik v'yashahu. Why did the Eivishter make that happen? So then when he finishes Sefer Eiv, and you read through the whole thing, you learn through the whole thing, and you realize what Eiv went through and what the Eivishter tells him, that after all, you can't possibly understand. And he realizes that after all, yesh misa b'loy oven, it can't even happen. A person, not necessarily when we say that when a person passed away, is because they did something wrong. It can be because that's part of the Eivishter's plan. So that made him feel better. And therefore so that was menachem him for his own losses. And therefore he said this word over here about soif odom lomus safe behem. That whether a person passes away because they deserve it or whether not, just because they Eivishter planned, either way, the point is, what does a person accomplish during his lifetime? The Gemara continues now with a bunch of sayings that various chachamim would say about what a yid's life is all about, like short pisgamim that encapsulate what a yid is supposed to accomplish in this world. So the first one, Margul Amakomi did a mayor. It was regular in Reb Meir's mouth to say the following statement: Margul Amalashin Regilus. There is actually an explanation from the Yad Ramah that says Margalak can also be Meloshim Margolis. These are pearls of statements from the Chacham. Anyway, he would say, Gemur b'chol levavchol b'chol nafshecha, learn thoroughly with all your heart and all your soul, lodasas drachai, to know my ways, and speaking like, so to speak, personifying, speaking on behalf of Hashem, the lishkod al dalsei terosi, and to be diligent by the doors of my Torah, or dalso, the other gear said, dalsoi sa yom yom, by my gate, by my doors every day, which is a Lashon HaPosek from Mishlei. Nitzur l'shon chamira, guard your tongue from speaking evil, or sfasecha midaber mirma, and use lips from speaking falsehood, as we talked about yesterday, the various meanings in that. Nitzur terdosi b'libcha, guard my Torah in your heart, v'negre nechatia yirosi, and fear of me or of Hashem should be in front of your eyes. Shmur picha mikochet, guard your mouth from any kind of sin. V'tar v'kadosh atzmecha mikol ashma v'oven, and make yourself pure and holy from any kind of guilt or any kind of avera. V'ani eya imcha b'chol shah u'makem, and then Hashem promises, I will be with you in every place or at every time, at every shah, which is place, or makem, every shah is time, or makem is place. So that was Reb Meir's vort. What is he expressing with that idea? So Marsha explains like this. We know a person has a responsibility to learn about the Eivishter as much as possible. Now, then you have a person can also be learning, can also be coming across things with their seichel that don't fit with the Torah. So he should realize that they may make a lot of sense, but that's only because he has a human brain and he's not capable of understanding the Eibishter's thoughts. But he should realize that those things are to be, are he shouldn't have anything to do with. So therefore, so he says, so he starts Gemur B'cholavavcha, which means that to ladas es drachai, to know the ways of Hashem, and you'll be able to see from that Hashem's mitzios and Hashem's achdos, and you'll accomplish tremendous things that way. By the way, we have, you know, when you think about it, Avraham Avinu spent his first 75 years doing just that. Eventually, the Eibishter speaks to him by Yom Hashem al Avraham Lach Lacha in this week's parasha. But before that, he spent all those years before that figuring out, as we know, famously, he looked at all he looked at the natural world and everything around and realized from it that there is Svarana Gotef and Belt, and that the Eibishter is one and how he runs the world. So you do that. But then he continues, Velishka Dal Dalse Serasi means, in other words, that if you find something that's against the Torah, which is Derech Minus, don't pay any attention to it. So that's, he says, you have a similar thing in Pirkei Avos. You have heavy, you have a laws of an Aroch, says over there, heavy shokud lomad Torah, be diligent to learn Torah, the dam ashatosh of Apikotis, and know what to answer back the Apikotis. In other words, as much as you're bringing into yourself as much chokhmah of Torah as you can absorb, be careful that when you come across any idea of chokhmah, which is not in consonance with Torah, which is Apikotis, then reject it and realize that it has nothing to do with you. Then he goes on, Marsha goes on to say, a person has Machshava Dibra Maisa, which is why he's mentioning. So therefore he has the Libecha, which is Machshava, Einecha, which is Maisa, and Shmer Picha is Dibur, and then the Tire of Kaddish is beyond that, Kaddish Hatzmach of Mutalach. And then with all of that, when a person has perfected himself and all those Levushim of himself, then Ani E Imcha B'chomak, and Hashem promises that I'm him that I'll be with you. Iyun Yaakov points out why Dafka Reb Meir is saying this. In particular, we know that Reb Meir learned Torah from Acher, and Acher had that problem. He knew tremendous amounts of Torah, but unfortunately, he also got involved with Apikorsis, and we know what happened with him. So, in fact, the other Chachamim disapproved of Reb Meir learning of him from him at all. So therefore, Reb Meir particularly is the one that who's saying this statement that you have to be very careful when you're learning Torah to not allow anything else that doesn't belong there to creep in. Continues the Gemara. The Chachamim of Yavne had the following regular statement that they would regularly say: "Ani bria v'chaveri bria. I am a creation of Hashem, and my colleague, and we'll talk about soon who these colleagues are. There are many, many different explanations among the Mefarshim, is also a creation of Hashem. Ani malachti b'ir v'hu malachti b'asadeh. I work in the city, he works in the field." So on the simple level, in other words, Rashi says, the first simple explanation is we're talking about that chaveri over here means an ama oretz. So first, I'm not greater than him, I was created by Hashem, and so was he. In fact, Tosfos says, what means also that he has the same ability to tell between Tov and Ra as I do. You shouldn't think that I have a greater brain than him. He has the same ability, he has the same human abilities as I do. So ani malachti b'ir, in other words, I do easy work, I'm in the city, learning Torah, and he works in the field, at hard work. Ani mashkin l'malachti, I get up early to do my work, to learn Torah, v'hu mashkin l'malachti, and he, the Am Haaretz, gets up early to do his work in the farm. K'shem shehu einu misgadr b'malachti, now the Chachamim of Yavne would continue, just like he doesn't try to make himself bigger and try to take over my job, kachani einu misgadr b'malachti, the same way, I don't consider myself bigger and try to take over his job. So you're going to think in that case, then. So you're going to think that I'm doing more, and so you're going to think I'm doing more, and he's doing less. In other words, Rashi explains. You would think that you know why he's not trying to take my job, because anyway, how much would he be able to do? He'd be able to learn a tiny bit of Torah anyway. So why? So he figures to himself, and in that case, why should I bother? That's not a good reason. Shaninu, because after all, we learn in the Mishnah. Whether a person does a lot or a little, the context over there is kavanas, but it also applies to learning Torah. As long as he has kavana to the Eibishter. So therefore, in other words, according to Rashi, the Chum of Yavna are pointing out, as these Amei Oretz, they don't really have a good excuse why not to learn Torah. They're going to say, because I'm busy with my job, well, they could have taken on my job. If they do my job, they're not going to accomplish anything new as much. The Eibishter would credit them just as much if they were to try to take on my job. So according to that, it comes out, in other words, that there's a bit of an implicit criticism of the Amei Oretz over there. Why are they remaining Amei Oretz? Why are they not working on something higher? There is, by the way, in that connection, I think I may have mentioned this before, there's something in Tonet Ve'Eliyo where it tells where the Yohan Navi once meets up with an Amoritz, a fisherman, and he asks him, why aren't you learning Torah? And the guy says, I'm busy making fun. No, I'm busy. The guy says, I don't have the head for it. So Leo then gets into a conversation with him about how does the fishing business work? And the guy starts explaining, you need to know the currents, and you need to know the waves, and you need to know where are the good fishing spots and how to make nets and so on and so forth. And finally, Leo cuts him off and says, so you got the head for all of that, but you don't have the head for learning Torah. So according to that, then that would be similar to Rashi's explanation of the Sani Briya, Machaveri Briya, and this whole statement. Now, Marsha has a couple of questions on that. Among other things, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that every Talmud Chacham should say such a thing when he goes to learn. So we say it in practice. You see people only saying it by a hadron. Onu mashkimim behem mashkimim, onu mashkimim l'divei serda, behem mashkimim l'dvorim b'telem, etc. Really, later on in the Masechta, it says it's a tefillah that you're supposed to say every time before you go to learn Torah. Anyway, so he says that no. What it means is we're not talking about Amei Aretz. We're talking about Balabatim who do learn Torah, but they don't have the ability to learn more. They don't have the brain and the mental ability to learn more. So we're saying that Ani Briya v'Chaveri Briya, ultimately that kind of thing is decided in advance by Hashem, because we know that the Tipa is brought by the Malach in front of Hashem, as it says in Masechta Nida, and then everything is determined, and among other things, is it going to be Chacham or Tipish? So therefore, the fact that I have the ability to be a Chacham and he doesn't have that ability is pre-programmed in to begin with. So then we're saying, so you're going to say, Ani Ma'abir v'hu Ma'amit, you're going to think, in that case, I must get a much greater schar than I am, than he does, because after all, I'm accomplishing so much more in Torah. No, you should know, Echad Ma'abir v'Echad Ma'amit, he's also Mechabin, he may be able to accomplish only a little bit, but whatever he's working on that little bit, he's putting his effort into it, and he gets a tremendous schar from the Eivishter also. I one time heard a story in that connection. There was a fellow who became a Baal Teshuva late in life, and eventually he finally, after years, he got to the point where he was able to start learning a little bit of Gemara. He finally got to the point. It took him months, whatever, however long it took him, whatever. He was finally able to finish one block Gemara. And one of the Gdolei Yisrael at that time, it may have been Rav Moshe Feinstein, but I don't remember who it was, actually had his yeshiva make a siyum for the guy. See him on one block Gemara, but for him, that one block Gemara was as much Horebanya as a yeshiva bacha would put in a whole Masechta or more. Yeah. So according to my show, that's the vote of it. Then there's a lot of other explanations. Akosiv says that these are similar to Rashi, that saying that the Chachamim of Yavne are saying we should be so happy with the fact that we chose the right occupation, that we chose the umnus of Torah better than the umnus of the Amei Aretz. We're both created by Hashem, but we have the advantage. You're going to say we have to get up early. So does the farmer. You're going to say he's sameach b'chelka with his crop. I'm sameach b'chelka with what I accomplish with my Torah. So you're going to say that he doesn't have to do so much, whereas a chacham has to keep on learning, has to keep on increasing in Torah. No, echad amamit v'echad amamit. Even if the chacham is doing less of his umnus, if he's mechavim libel shemayim, then he still gets a great schar. So therefore, again, the idea is they're talking up the mila of how proud and how happy we are that we have the schos of being tamid chacham. And one more is Eitz Yosef talks about that primarily he's talking about the people who learn Mishnah versus Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sota that compares people who learn Mishnah to workers in the field. So we're saying they may be capable of only learning Mishnah, whereas we're capable of learning Gemara, which is on a higher level. Nevertheless, Echad Amamet v'Echad Amamet, they both get a schar from the Eivishter. And then there's another explanation, I don't remember from who, that says that we're talking about that we're actually talking about the people who support Tamid Chachamim. So therefore, they're praising them, that Ani Briya, V'Chaveri Briya, they have, we're the Yisachos, they're the Zvulun, and we each get our Schayr from Eivishter. Continues the Gemara, Magul of Pumei de Abaya, the Abaya was used to making the following statement, Lo'olam Yehe Odom Orum V'Yira. A person always has to be sly or sneaky, Orum, like V'Anocha Shaya Orum, when it comes to Yiras Hashem. So Rashi says it means, L'harim B'chol Mene Orum, L'Yiras Bor, it means any kind of strategy, any kind of stratagem or any kind of sly technique or whatever you have to use to increase your yira. In Hayom Yom, you have a line over there that it means, for example, that it was about a month ago during Aseres Mitzvah, but there shouldn't be any blitus, for example, that a person has to be a Yorish Shemayim, but La'olam Yehudah Shemayim Yorish Shemayim Aseser, it should be in secret, not to show off to everybody that is Yorish Shemayim. That's included in Orim B'Yira. It includes the Maimorim that talk about the idea that it includes that Orim B'Yira means to be able to use strategies to reach Yira Yilah rather than just sticking with Yira Tata. There are places where the Rebbe wrote to people in letters that includes also you're trying to accomplish something on behalf of Yiddishkeit. Sometimes the less direct approach is the better one rather than the head-on approach which they're likely to resist. All of those things are included in Orim B'Yira. And he continues, Maner Rachum Meshiv Chema, a person should also answer softly, which will turn away anger. That's actually a Loshon HaPasuk from Mishlei. A person should speak peacefully with his friend, with his brothers, and with his friends, the Im Kol Adam, and with all other people as well. Even with a goy in the street. So even you say shalom, even we actually had this earlier in the perek, that we had, for example, let's say we talked about Rav Chista, for example, would greet people on the street, even a goy. Actually, we said, Marshall explained over there, there's a particular reason why to initiate the greeting of shalom to a goy. He said, because we learned over there, because if you greet somebody with shalom and he doesn't answer, then it's considered like he's stealing. So with a goy, big deal, so let him be a ganav, you don't care. Whereas a yid, you don't want to put him in that situation. And the Gemara continues, so Abaya continues, Kadeshiyeh Ohov Lamaila, when a person acts this way, he'll be beloved above by Hashem, V'nechman Lamata, and he'll be desirable, and people will like him down here. And we know in Pirkei Avos, Kol Sheruach HaMokam Neuchayimenu, Ruach HaMokam Neuchayimenu. So if he acts in a way that people will like, and makes a Kiddush Hashem, then Hashem will like him also. Or Miskabel, over Yehei Mekobel, Ala Brias, and people will accept him and get along with him. And Maharsha says also the Orim B'Yira also makes him Nechmad L'Maila when he tries all kinds of stratagems and all kinds of sneaky techniques and whatever to have Yiras Shemayim, then the Eibishter appreciates that. And the Gemara continues, or some of the Mephoshim say that actually this is Abaya continuing, saying, Omru Alavar al Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, Shalik Dima Odim Shalom Me'olam, Afilo Oivit Kuchavim Bashur. They say about Rabbi Yechim and Zakai that nobody ever said Shalom to him first, even a goy in the street, he would always be the one to initiate Shalom to them. And Ion Yaakov points out, by the way, we know the story from the Hanizokin where Rabbi Yechim and Zaka had himself smuggled out to Aspas Yonus and asked him ten liyavne v'chachameha and the other things. So Rabbi Yechim and Zaka was respected by the government. So you would think then they would be the one to say shalom to him first. Nevertheless, he was always the one to initiate shalom.
Make any difference whether you give him shalom or you nod your head?
I mean, nowadays it's less common to say shalom, yeah, and the pashtus nodding your head is the acceptable thing nowadays. I don't know, yeah. Okay. Gemara continues. Magulah b'pumei de Rava. Rava used to say the following statement: Tachlis chokhma tshuva meisim tovim. The ultimate purpose of chokhma of Torah, of the chokhma of Torah, is that it should be accompanied by tshuva meisim tovim. So you shouldn't have that a person is learning Torah and not doing tshuva meisim tovim along with it. Shelo yehi odim kore v'shone. So you don't have a person who's learning Tanakh and learning Mishnayos, and then he's going to be kicking against or rebelling against his father or his mother, or against his Rebbe, or anybody else who's greater than him in Chochmah and in numbers. Now, numbers can mean in age, it can mean in the number of Talmidim he has, etc. The point is, Maharsha says, we're not just talking about where he actually goes and rebels against the Mepoyim. We're also talking about when a person learns Torah and then he does Maisim Roim, then you have, as the Gemara tells us in Yoma, that the people say about his parents and about his Rebbe, look at, you know, Ru'u Gedulim Shegidaltem, and what kind of people is it that learn Torah, and it's not good to be like that, and creates a Chil Hashem. So that's all included in this Boyet Ba'ovavu Rabbe. Whereas the flip side is when a person does the right thing, then it creates a Kiddush Hashem. So Shanema, as the pasuk says, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of Hashem. Seichel Tov V'Choloi Seyem, it's a good understanding for those who do them. Tiyulose Emedes Vaad, his praise endures and stands forever. So now, Rava points out, L'loim Dehem Loi Nemar, it doesn't say Seichel Torah v'chol loim dehem, which would imply that automatically a person learns Torah and right away from that he has Seichel Torah. No, ela lo'oseihem. Rather, it says the word lo'oseihem, which means lo'osim l'shma v'lo lo'osim shalo l'shma. So it means the people who are doing in Torah and mitzvahs l'shem shamayim and not when they're doing it loim and not when they're doing it shalo l'shem shamayim. Yad Yosef over here on the side brings from the Tzlach that the word lo'oseihem has another meaning as well. It doesn't just mean people who do the mitzvahs. The word osa can also mean to make. So lo'oseihem means a person who acts in the proper way. He's making himself over into a whole new person. So that's lo'oseihem. That's not just l'loim deyem, they learn Torah and it remains chitzoniistic to them, but rather lo'oseihem that transforms them into a new kind of person. So Rava continues. Anybody who does in Torah shaloi l'shma, then it would be better if they weren't created. Now here's where Tosfos says. Now didn't we talk yesterday about the oisim shaloi l'shma? And we said fine, let them at least do the shma. So here's where Tosfos says. This is one of the places in Shas that you have different kinds of shaloi l'shma. We here we're talking about the ones who do lakanto, the ones who do in order to attack other people or to hold themselves higher than other people or otherwise use the Torah as a weapon against other people, as opposed to other places where we say b'lishma, means that a person is learning Torah without the right motivation because he wants to be famous, because he wants to be called Rebbe or whatever, but not quite so bad as lakanto. The Rif has makes a point over here that when we say in the pasuk reishis chokhma yiras Hashem, now the word reishis can actually have two meanings. It can mean the beginning of it, and that would mean preceding chokhma, you have to have yiras Hashem. But reishis can also mean the choicest part of it. Al derech hakiyav reishis areisei sefer. You don't first take challah and then make your dough. First you make your dough, then you take challah from it. So reishis can also mean the choice part, the tachlis. And that means, in other words, that Chochmah has to be followed by Yiras Hashem, which brings us to what we have in Pirkei Avos. I mean, Yira and Chochmah, I mean, Chochmah and Yira. They're interdependent. You can't have one without the other. The Alter Rebbe actually talks about in Tanya the idea that the Imen Yira in Chochmah refers to Yira Tato. You have to start with that as a prerequisite for the Chochmah of Torah. And then Chochmah of Torah itself helps bring a person to the Yira Ilah, Imen Chochmah and Yira. So that's Rebbe's statement. The Gemara continues, Margul of Akume de Rab, Rab used to regularly say the following statement, Loik ha'olam hazeh ha'olam haba. The olam haba is not like this world. In this world, a person has to eat and drink and has all kinds of other things. Ha'olam haba ein bo lo yachila v'lo shesia. In olam haba, and there's an olam haba, b'chlal, we know has a few different meanings. It can mean the world that the neshama goes to after 120. It can mean the world after tchias emesim. And which one we're talking about over here, we'll talk about in a minute. So, ein bo lo yachila v'lo shesia, there's no eating and drinking, v'lo piri v'rivya, there's no procreation, there's no having children, v'lo maso mata, and there's no doing business, buying and selling, v'lo kina, no jealousy, v'lo sina, or hatred, v'lo tachlis, or competition, el tzadikim yoshvim, rather the tzadikim are sitting there, v'atresehem v'resheem, and their crowns are on their heads, v'nenin miziv ha-shechina, and they enjoy the radiance of the shechina, shenema, as the pasuk says, v'yechsu ha-selekim, v'yechlu v'yishtu, just like you have by Matan Torah, where it says that the skenim and nodim and avihu, they saw Hashem and they ate and drank. So not literally that they ate and drank, but they enjoyed the ziva shechina so much as if they had eaten and drank, and as if they had eaten and drunk.
Wasn't that in the negative sense?
So there is the negative sense that it means that they were a little too familiar with the shechina, and therefore they got something for that later. Yeah, but here we're saying, on the other hand, the fact is that when a person has a high level of gilui shechina, then it can be compared to eating and drinking. So that's the eating and drinking that will be also lovely, but not regular eating and drinking. Now here's where you have a big machlokas rishonim, what we mean by this. The Rambam holds that we're talking about those. So everybody agrees that we're not just talking about the world of neshamas after 120, because then what's the chiddush? Of course, if they're neshamas that are not in bodies, then of course there's no achilah rishia. I mean, you have the Rambam does point out, you know, you have, for example, you take, let's say, the Muslim conception of Shemayim, where, you know, the famous 72 virgins. So, okay, you know, we have to realize that it's not that. But anyway, but the Rambam explains that Now, we're talking about after Tchias HaMesim. Now, the Rambam's Shitta is that after Tchias HaMesim, the people come alive by Tchias HaMesim. They're going to live out good, long, healthy lives, but eventually they're all going to pass away, and then there's going to be a world of just neshamas. He says that's the world that we're talking about, that Rab is talking about in the statement W. We can't be talking about while the neshamas are in the bodies, because how is a body supposed to survive without eating and drinking and so forth? So it has to be that afterwards there'll be a time with neshamas without bodies. The Ramban disagrees with that and says famously, and when Tertus Achsidus agrees with the Ramban on that, that no, after Tchias HaMesim, the neshamas will stay in the bodies forever. The bodies themselves will be on a much higher level than they are now. So in other words, even though nowadays a body needs physical food and drink to be able to live, after Tchias HaMesim, it won't be necessary. Instead, the body will be able to live off the Ziv HaShchina. You have the expression that's brought in Chassidus that at that time, nowadays we have the neshama is kept in the body by the body eating. The neshama lives off the body. Lost love, it's going to be the other way around. The body lives off the neshama. It's brought that we have a me'ain of that, Yom Kippur, where you don't eat for 25 hours, and the body is living off the ziv of the neshama. That's how it'll be lost love on an ongoing basis. Marsha, by the way, mentions over here that to Sehen Bereshehen, we know that after Matan Torah, each Jew was given two crowns for Nasa and for Nishma. So now it's a similar kind of thing. He brings also from a Medrash. There's a Medrash that says that Hashem himself, the Briat Torah, Berosh Kol Tzadik, and that's that to Sehen Bereshehen. The Rambam in particular talks about that the after Sehen Bereshehen refers to the Seichel of Torah that they've achieved during their lifetime, and that'll be like a crown on their head. So the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, G'doyla Havtocha Sheiv Tichon HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Nashim, Mishel U'Yosem Min Ha'Anashim. The promise that Hashem makes to the Jewish women of the schar that they're going to get, La'asid Lavoi, is greater than that he gives to the men. Shenema, as a pasuk in Yeshaya says, Nashim Sha'ananois, women who are at ease, Sha'anon means at ease and at rest, Koim Nashmana Koili, stand up and listen to my voice, Bonis Boitchos, girls who are able to be trusting, Hazena Imrasi, listen to what I have to say. The fact that the Pasuk calls them Shananis and Boitchos implies that they can be very certain of the schar that they're going to have in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Abba. The double expression. Mashenk and the men. No, you don't find such a Pasuk about them. So the Rif discusses over here at some length. I mean, first of all, where do we see it's greater than the men? And second of all, the fact is, if you look at the Pasuk, you look at the next Pasuk after that, it's talking about how they're going to be afraid and trembling when the Golos comes. So how are we taking this Pasuk out of context and saying that it shows how great the women are? And he has a long explanation about it, which boils down to that even we say they are going to suffer Golos, but it's going to be mainly because, as the Pasuk goes on to say, because the Sanhedrin has ceased, and therefore they don't have the schus of that to protect them anymore. Mashma, if it weren't for that, then Hashem is not holding against them the things they do wrong, showing therefore that they have a greater schar than the men. So now the Gemara asks, so in what way are women zoicha to this great schus? And he answers him, because they take their boys to cheder. Beit Knishta literally means the shul, but that would be in the old days where the cheder was located. It was in the local shul. So they bring their boys over there to learn Torah. They convince their husbands to go away to learn in the yeshiva, to learn Torah. The most famous example of that, of course, being Rochel with Rebbe Akiva. By the way, the Rebbe once pointed out in a sicha, either in a letter or a sicha, I don't remember, to women, that you think about it, the entire Torah Shebaal Peh that we have stands on the one woman, Rochel, because the Stam Mishnah, the Meir, Stam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda, and so on and so forth, V'chulu, Al-Libet, the Rebbe Akiva, all of them are based on what Rebbe Akiva taught them. So the entire edifice of Torah Shebaal Peh stands on Shaliva Shalachem Shalom. Anyway, so they have that source, and that they wait up for their husbands until they come home, until they come back from Beit Rabbanon. So it doesn't even mean actually to wait up at night. Rashi says they wait, they give them permission to go learn even in a different city, so that maybe years before they come back, and they wait patiently for them. That's the source that the women have. And this is, by the way, the fact that we're saying over here that the women have this connection with Torah through that, even though they themselves don't have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. This is the famous thing that it says in Hayom Yom and in Sefer HaMinhagim, that this is why when a girl is born in the Mishnah Berurah, we also say the Torah or the Chuppah or the Ma'asim Tovim, because she'll be raised. She may not learn Torah, she may not have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah the way a boy does, but she still has the connection with Torah that we're saying over here. So these are all positive things, right? In fact, now that you mention it, yes. Yeah, so there is actually, so there's a Gemara in Yevamos where Rav Chiya had a very difficult wife, and he says that, yeah, after all, the fact is, Megadlus Bonenu Matzilus Sonim Menachet, they do have this chus that they raise our children and they save us from Avera, because we have an outlet for our Yetzer. So that alone, but he was saying it's even more. They have positive things to their credit as well, not just those things where they save us from negatives. In fact, I saw a vote on it that's why Davka, I think it may have been from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I don't remember, that he says that why is it Davka Rav asking Rav Chiya this question, is because Rav and Rav Chiya both had that problem. Their wives were very difficult to get along with. So they have an extra reason to ask and to answer why it is that the women should have these extra schlossing. The Pnei Yehoshua makes an interesting point, though. He says, what do you mean, but noshim amai zachim? How are they zochah? Because they do mitzvahs. Now, what kind of a question is that? So he explains like this. The previous piece that we said that the tzaddikim yoshvim v'atrei seim b'rasheim, so now if we go according to the Ramban, that we're talking about yoshvim, that we're talking about they're sitting in their gashmiyistik gufim, so how do their gashmiyistik bodies have the ability to be raised to such a high level where they're able to be nen in ziv hashchina? Is because of the mitzvahs they accomplished. Every mitzvah we know corresponds to a body part. Ramach mitzvah seseh for the ramach ibarim, shasah lois seseh for the shasah ginim. So as a person does mitzvahs, then they refine that part of their appropriate part of their body, and therefore they make themselves able to be nen and mizivah shchina. So now the question becomes, says the Pnei Yeshua, there's a whole bunch of mitzvahs that women aren't chayiv in. So where do they have this chus? Aren't there going to be parts of their bodies that have not been refined through these mitzvahs? And the answer is because of these chus that they have with their children and with getting their children and their husbands to learn Torah and waiting for them, that itself accomplishes that's mezakech, the relevant parts of their body, even though they don't have them, even though they don't do the mitzvahs that correspond to those things.
Just like men are not
high
in
old Tariq
mitzvahs. I mean, only certain things.
Well, but we have that Koma Achas Shlema. There we have the idea that every person benefits from the other one's mitzvahs. We have the mitzvahs on Melech. First of all, you have the idea of the mitzvahs on Melech, for example. The Melech is Lev Kochal Yisrael, so therefore his mitzvahs count for everybody. You have the idea a person has to come back in many Gilgulim. What the Pnei Yeshua is saying is independent of that, just the fact that the women have these schosim with their children and with their husband, that itself is fully mezakef their bodies, such that they will be able to enjoy that same schar of yoshim, menen, and ziv hashchina just as much as the men. We'll continue that next time, Be'ez Hashem. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula for Tes Cheshvan. When it comes to the dedication of the third Beis Hamikdash, which we know is described with the expression Mikdash Adnai Koinenu Yadecha, that Hashem's own hands, Kavyachol, will set it up, then there'll be revealed the idea that it says in the pasuk Kolamokam Ashaazki Shmi Ove Alecho Veidachticha, where Hashem says every place where I give permission for my name to be mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. And we have that. When do we say that? Right after the Aseret Hadibros, right after Matan Torah, right after the Aseret Hadibros. So now we'll have it. Won't just be in one particular place. It'll be B'chol Olam Kulei, because after all, the pasuk is B'chol Mokam, in every place. Meaning, in other words, that the ultimate shleimus of the Beis Hamikdash, and we know that the Beis Hamikdash is the only place where the Kohenim, up till now, where the Kohenim have the reshus to say the Shem HaMefodesh when they're duchening, so that shleimus of the Beis Hamikdash will be revealed and will permeate the entire world. That's what it means. And the Gemara says it means that nowadays Hashem and Shmoy is not Echod in the sense that we spell Hashem's name one way and pronounce it a different way, but then it'll be Kashem Shani Nichtav Ani Nikra. So that won't just be in the Beis Hamikdash, it'll be B'chol Mokom, in every place, because the whole world will be a Dira Lo Yisparech, will be on the level of the Mishkan and the Beis Hamikdash. Halacha. So now we're up to Simen Mem Ches in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which starts talking about brachas, about things made from grain. So now you have the case of pasabob kisnin, which you have several different definitions of it. So if you eat less than a kviya suda, you don't need to wash, and you don't say amotzi, you just say mezonis, and afterwards alamichya. But if you eat a kviya suda, then it's considered like regular bread, and you'd have all the dinim of that. what kasa baba kisnin is, there you have several different definitions. One explanation is that kisnin is related to the word kis, so it means a pocket, so it means like a pie that's filled, that's filled with fruit or meat or cheese or what have you. Actually, the Alter Rebbe holds that. Now, to Rebbe holds in Hilchos Birkas Hananim, if it's filled with meat and if it's filled with meat or fish or cheese or whatever, like a chicken pot pie or whatever, then taka would be considered like lechem gomer no matter what. So you would have to wash on it. Also, for example, blintzes can be in that category as well. Another explanation is that it's dough that was made with oil or fat or any kind of other kinds of things like that, and some water was mixed in as well. But if you have you have most of it is fruit juice, then that can be considered pasa baba kisnin. The Alter Rebbe also adds that also if it's made with water only, but you have much more spices in it than you usually would, that would also be another definition of pasa baba kisnin. So we go lahakel and we consider them both above pasa baba kisnin. However, the Alter Rebbe says that a Baal Nefesh should not eat more than a Kriya Suda of any of these things, only with the Suda, unless with the exception of the one about, for example, when it's made with fruit juice and filled with Paris, then we can be Mekel and not consider that pass. And then he says that in Hilchos Birkas Hananim, he goes further and says that even if it's just made with fruit juice, then you need to be machmer on it as well. So the Maisa, for example, they talk a lot about the whole idea of mezonis bread. It's actually not so simple based on that whether there is even such a thing as mezonis bread. It may be that even though it is made with juice, but it has tzuras hapas, and therefore it may well be considered bread as far as these din.